Good stuff there. That's just about all my.
Was that our first? Was that our first translated call?
I think so. We're moving up in the world.
Great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we want to give special thanks out too, of course, to Matt Yanofsky, who hooked us up with that one. Matt was sending stuff out to me about Ivan right up until the fight. So, you know, I figured he could hook that up, and he did, and the translator too. So that's awesome. And I didn't realize Baranchik was Russian when I first, you know, watched the fight and everything. I didn't know his nationality at all, so it's kind of interesting. There's some combinations, there's some words that are sort of the same in German, so some of the stuff they were saying, I actually knew what they were saying before the translation.
gotcha.
So it's kind of cool. Anyway. So much other stuff to talk about in addition to those guys. I could have had them on for another 20 minutes. But, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to cover here, including last week's boxing results. The big one, obviously, Adrian Broner got the split decision win over Adrian Matos.
In his hometown, and, you know, I'm going to segue this into something else. I'm talking to Iceman John Scully the other day on Facebook, and Iceman was posting about next week's fight between Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman, and you know, he had different people, you know, discussing, you know, who they thought was going to win, this and that. And the one thing I came out and said, I said, you know, at least with Garcia and Thurman, you know, you're looking at two guys that have respect for themselves and the sport of boxing, that they're going to come in there in tip-top shape, and, you know, they're going to come out there, you know, to win. They're not going to come out there and worried about getting their hair brushed and, you know, acting like a goddamn buffoon. You know, but yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I can barely tolerate Adrian Broner, and I would love to have seen him fight a guy like Danny Garcia or Keith Thurman and get his dick knocked in the dirt, you know, just because, you know, about billions... Yeah, AB is about something that's kind of about a buffoon. You know, I have no respect for him. I'm sorry, I don't. Yeah. And, you know, in this fight here, once again, doesn't come in tip-top shape. And I didn't get to see all of the fight. You know, I fell asleep. But, sorry, once again, he lost. He laid off. At best was a draw.
And, I didn't watch the fight at all, so I can't say anything about it, but all I did was read about it, and, you know, apparently it was kind of a half-and-half fight. One guy did better in the first half, one guy did better in the second half, so that's why the scores were so close, but also, like Tony says, it was in his area of Ohio, so you have to believe that the judges that picked it for him. I did read the scores. The scores were kind of really out of whack, because, like, one guy had it, like, 99 or 97 to 93 for Broner, and then there was another guy that had it the same way for Granados. So, I mean, when you got that kind of a swing, obviously there's something going on with the judges.
Yeah, and the question is, should the fight have been that close in the first place?
Right.
I mean, if Broner's world class, this should have been easier fight, I would guess. I mean, I don't know enough about his opponent to comment, but that would be my gut feeling.
You're absolutely right.
And then there was a couple other fights worth mentioning on this card, of course. Marcus Brown at light heavyweight improved with another win. It was 18-0 over Thomas Williams Jr., 20-2.
That was a very ugly fight.
Knockout.
And a foul invested fight.
Oh, really? What round did the knockout come in?
I think it was maybe like the fifth or the sixth round.
All right.
But Brown was landing some shots early, and you could see that it was, you know, causing Williams some duress. And at one point, what happened was, you know, he hits Williams with a solid jab, southpaw jab, and Williams dips down, and his glove touches the canvas. And, you know, now I can understand where it looked like at that point, did he go down? Did he not go down? But as Brown cocks his left hand back, Williams then ends up going down to one knee, and it was about a good 2 seconds before Brown blasted him.
Now, the referee did a poor job. The referee, I mean, Williams is on the canvas, and he's laying there, and the referee's counting. He's counting to 10, and Williams is saying, he hit me while I was down. The referee counts to 10, then tells Williams to get up. Williams said, I can't get up. The referee grabs him by both arms and actually pulls him up, and then gives Brown a penalty point and Williams a 5-minute break. Huh. Now,
damn, that's what, like four mistakes in one right there.
Yeah, really. I mean, first of all, it could have been a disqualification right off the bat because there was a good 2-second delay before he hit him with that left hand. And the man was clearly on his knee. Then, okay, that's one. Then he counts, which there should have been no count, you know. And then he does. Then he lifts him up. You know, that was, I mean, it was just poor. But then from there, you know, Brown then really ended up tattooing him anyway. And Williams was, you know, he was complaining a lot to the referee during the fight. At one point, Brown lands for a pretty good right hook. And as Williams is on his way down, he's yelling something at the referee. That was actually kind of funny. But then they finally did stop it, and it was, you know, a good stoppage. No more, you know, need for the guy to take any more punishment. But poorly officiated bout. And Brown, if he wants to reach that next level, he's really got to learn to keep himself in check. Because even the announcers had said that before the fight, that he does have a tendency to let emotions get the best of him and get a little haywire. And it reminded me of a fight I went to back in 1994, right before I went to college. And it was Riddick Bowe's first fight back after losing to Holyfield in the Fan Man fight. And then Atlantic City, and he was fighting Buster Mathis Jr., who a year or so later fought Mike Tyson. And, you know, Bowe wasn't in tip-top shape. You could tell he was rusty because he had about a good 8 or 9 month layoff. And Mathis was a guy, you know, for being a short, stocky, somewhat flabby-looking guy, he was deceptively, he was like his father. He was deceptively quick, and he had decent movement, decent hands, and he was really giving Bo some trouble in there. But then around, I think it was the fourth round, Bo started getting him a little bit, and he caught him in a few shots, and Mathis went down to one knee. And Bo looked at him when he was down on his knee, and he just pulled an uppercut out, like, boom. And he hit Mathis. And Mathis just kind of just, like, tipped over. And the referee counted Mathis out, waved it off. They were announcing Bo as the winner, but then they turned around and called it a no contest because it was a clear, clear foul. Once again, that was another option for this fight here to call it a no contest because it was a foul. But, yeah, I guess when you're the up and coming prospect, you get the calls.
Right. Well, we also had the main event worth talking about, of course, Eleider Alvarez. No, that's next week. Sorry, David Avanesyan. Lost to Lamont Peterson. He falls to 22-1-1. Peterson goes up to 34-3-1. That was for the WBA World Welterweight title, and it was a unanimous decision win for Lamont. So he's moving up in
another
the world.
Another decent fight. Lamont looked pretty good there.
And there's a guy in here, I just want to mention his name because it's a cool boxing name. It was in North Carolina last week. Cole Crumpler, 7-0. How about that for a boxing name? Cole Crumpler. And, of course, he beat his opponent.
Cole, it's like C-O-L-E, right?
Yes, yes.
I thought you said pole at first, okay.
No.
Okay. Cole Crumpler.
He definitely crumpled his opponent. His opponent was a whopping 1-32 with one draw. So. Should have been the mismatch of the week.
I assume Cole emerged unscathed.
Yes, unanimous decision.
Couldn't stop him, huh?
He didn't crumple him, so to speak, but got the unanimous decision. Now, as I was mentioning, Eleider Alvarez is in the main event of one of the biggest fights tomorrow night up in Canada, Quebec, and he is 21-0 at light heavyweight, fighting Lucien Boutte, who is 32-3-1. But if you look at Elider's record, he's notched a lot of important names on those 21 wins. And one of them actually was one of my very first interviews on MySpace, Rayco War Saunders, who has been the victim of many bad decisions over the years. And looks like he fought Elider up there in Canada, so it's home turf. He's fought most of his fights up there in Canada, Elider. So no stranger to the country there, but... yeah, I didn't really check the result or look at any video of that fight, but it's cool to see Rayco on the list. And Lucien Bute, 32-3-1. Those three losses have all come in his last six bouts, so he's had some struggles of late. So we'll see how he does here against the undefeated guy and see if the undefeated guy stays undefeated or not. And we got a co-main event of Adam Braidwood, which is kind of weird. He's only 6-1, fighting a guy named Eric Martel Beholy, who is 11-6-1. And then we've got a fight for a couple obscure belts. We've got a middleweight bout between Francis Lafreniere, who is 14-5-2, and Uriel Gonzalez, who is 15-1-1. And that one is for the vacant WBO-NABO middleweight title and the IBF International middleweight title. Big stuff. Also, Sebastian Bouchard at super welterweight comes in at 14-1, fighting Gustavo Garibay, who's 13-7-2. There it is. See what else we got coming up this weekend. Big stuff. Big female fight over in Oslo, Norway tomorrow night as well for a bunch of titles. I think all the titles at female welterweight here. We've got Cecilia Brækhus, 29-0, fighting Clara Svensson. Obviously a name from that territory. This one is for the WBC World Female Welterweight title, the WBA, IBF, and WBO World Female Welterweight titles, and the International Boxing Organization World Female Welterweight title. And the other fights are really not worth mentioning. Nothing spectacular, no big names, but that should be a big one. Let's see what else we've got in the boxing list. Not even to Saturday yet. Sort of a big one on Showtime. Must be the Showbox card here. Christopher Pearson at super welterweight. He comes in at 14-1, fighting Justin Deloach, who's 16-1. And that one's for the vacant USBA super welterweight title. Co-main event there, super featherweight Saul Rodriguez, undefeated, 20 wins, 1 draw. Oscar Bravo is his opponent, 22-6. And then we've got cruiserweights, undefeated cruiserweights, Andrew Tabidi. He's got 13 wins, no losses, no draws against Quantus Graves, who is 11-0-2. Also on the card, light heavyweights Lionel Thompson, 17-4, and Steve Lovett, who's 15-1. And he loves it, because his name is Lovett. All right, then we've got Palm Bay, Florida. There's the WBO Latino Super Flyweight title on the line in the main event there. That's going to be on Telemundo. Ricardo Rodriguez, great guy to be fighting on Telemundo. The Super Flyweight. 15-3, fighting Carlos Narvaez, who's 15-0 on that one. And that's the best fight on that card, of course. Let's see what else. Michigan. All right, it's Saturday. Next page. While we're waiting for that to load, I do want to mention this story that I just picked up on the Google Alerts. How about this for balls? Canelo and Chavez are agreeing to bet their entire fight purses against each other.
Wow.
Julio Cesar Chavez.
Don't hear that much.
Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Canelo Alvarez. Says they may not get away with it, but that didn't stop the two from agreeing to bet their entire fight purses against each other during Wednesday's pre-fight tour ahead of their May 6th bout. And this was on a Univision news conference this week. And Alvarez later confirmed to ESPN that the purse bet would stand. He said he was going to knock me out in 8 rounds, and I bet him his purse that he wouldn't beat me and that he wouldn't knock me out, and he accepted. And we shook hands in front of the cameras, and I think here in the United States, when you give someone your word, that makes it official. They're going to fight at a catch weight of 164.5 pounds with significant penalties for missing weight. It's going to be Cinco de Mayo weekend, which is huge for the Mexicans and Spanish people in general. Alvarez said, I bet you my purse that I will win, to taunt Chavez, who then asked, your purse or both our purses? Alvarez then said, I'll bet you both purses that I will win if you want. I'll give you the advantage there if you want. And Chavez pointed out that the betting odds were 4-1 in favor of Alvarez. But I am not betting in the casino, Alvarez told him. I'm betting you that I will beat you, and I will beat you 4 times over. It doesn't matter. Unbelievable. So, in recent years, obviously, Alvarez has been boxing near 154, 155. Chavez, on the other hand, has been up at 168 and 172. So, this is a big step up for Alvarez and a big step down. Well, smaller step down, I would say, being the 168 weight to 165, basically. So, who knows? But, it's going to be a barn burner, that's for damn sure.
Well, I wonder how they'll enforce that bet. If the loser just says no, I wonder how that'll end up.
It's called public shaming. That's the only way I see it being enforced, but I would think that a lot of people are going to tell them to shut up about it, because it's probably illegal to make that kind of bet outside of a casino. But, hey, I'm not a legal expert, am I? Not when it comes to criminal stuff, anyway. Civil stuff, yeah. I could speak on that. Anyway. Yeah, so that just came across the wire. Interesting story. Alright, what else we got for Saturday? Whoa. There's one in the Czech Republic that's pretty horrendous. This is the main event for the vacant Global Boxing Federation World Cruiserweight title. Guy who's 5-2 fighting for this title, Daniel Vency, but the record of his opponent is a little worse. Jindrik Vilecki comes in at 19-44.
And he's fighting for what title?
For the vacant Global Boxing Federation World Cruiserweight title. Tough one.
Wow.
Obviously they have high standards. Yikes. Another one. Vacant Universal Boxing Organization World Super Welterweight title. This is the only fight on the card, and it's in Berkane, Morocco. Super Welterweight's Ahmed Benjadou, who is 10-0-2, fighting Georgi Yungiadze. He is 39-31, is his record. Yikes. It's a little better than the other guy, though. At least he has a winning record. Anyway. Yeah, here's one in Poland. It's a pretty decent main event. Heavyweights, Krzysztof Zimek, who is 20 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, fighting Mike Mallo, who is 21-6-1.
Mallo, you always get a good fight with.
It's over in Poland. So, obviously, they're probably expecting Krzysztof to take this one away. Molo's going to have to knock him out to get that one.
Molo's a guy who's going to be a good hard fight. He's going to be the underdog, but, you know, he's a guy you're always going to get a maximum effort out of.
All right. Page 3. All right, here's one over in the UK. Big one on Saturday. At the Ice Arena in Hull, Yorkshire here, we've got super bantamweights Gavin McDonald and Ray Vargas. This is, there's been some stuff on our website about this. I know I got some press releases, but I didn't have the whole card of names here until now, but Gavin comes in at 16-0-2. Ray comes in at 28-0, so undefeated fighters here for the vacant WBC World Super Bantamweight title. Then we've got lightweights Luke Campbell fighting Jairo Lopez. Luke's 15-1. Jairo is 21-6. That's for the WBC Silver Lightweight title. And a fight super lightweight, Tommy Coyle, 22-4, fighting Rakeem Noble, who's 11-1. And there's another guy, 7-0, fighting an opponent, as they say, which happens a lot more over in the UK than anywhere else, I think. Super welterweight, way down on the card. 7-0-2 is his record. He's fighting William Warburton, who is 22-107-9. Nine draws. Wow. Crazy records over there in the UK.
You know, it seems like maybe I'm just paying more attention to it now, but just never remember when I was younger hearing about these triple-digit losses. I don't know if this is a trend.
Yeah. There's one in Kent, United Kingdom here, that's just horrendous. Like, everybody on the right side of the card has just horrible records. The main event is between a guy who's 1-13 and a guy who's 4-10-1. That's the main event. Great. Light heavyweight. Main event. Another guy is 4-114-4 fighting a guy on his debut.
Yeah, I have to assume these are verified records.
Yes, sir.
But I'd like to just talk to a guy with a record like that and say, you know, wow. I mean,
everything about doing something else?
Well, it's like one of Rich's favorite questions, you know, well, what are your ultimate goals? Where do you see yourself? And I would be genuinely curious. I mean, I'd be respectful about it because it's incredible determination, maybe you could say. But, you know, I'll go back to that old Max Kellerman saying, boxing is not the kind of sport to hang around in just to say you're hanging around.
Yeah.
Right.
The co-main event is great, too. You got Ollie Edwards, 4-0, fighting Scott Hillman, who's 0-16.
Damn. I mean, he could be at least one draw out of 16. Maybe like 0-15-1, one draw would give him some hope. How do you maintain hope?
Yeah. I'm going to guess his fighting nickname must be Scott Over the Hillman.
He was never on the hill. No. Okay, he never climbed up the hill. Man.
Can't make it up a hill in training. That's why he sucks so bad. Anyway, big fight card in Birmingham, Alabama. Premier boxing champions got to have their say over the weekend here. It's going to be at the Legacy Arena. It's going to be on Fox Sports 1. Looks like it says USA Fox, so I don't know if they're going to have it on both channels.
No, it's going to be on Rabbit Ears, the Rabbit Ear Fox local channel.
So both of them, I guess, are going to cover it. But main event.
Then Fox will have the fights afterwards or something. But
yeah.
Anyways, keep going.
Super welterweight main event, Jarrett Hurd, 19-0, fighting Tony Harrison, who's 24-1. That's for the vacant IBF World Super Welterweight title. I don't know a whole lot about either one of those guys, but the big one here is the heavyweights. Both of them undefeated here. Deontay Wilder comes in at 37-0, with most of those coming by knockout. I don't have to know. I don't have to click on his record to know that. Gerald.
Rip, I think it's a 37 or knockout.
36 of the 37?
Yep.
And then Gerald Washington comes in at 18-0. I don't know his knockout ratio, but he's got one draw. That came in last six fights. This is for the WBC World Heavyweight title. And, you know, it's probably going to be a knockout whoever wins this one. I would guess. And then we got a couple of... And then we've got a couple more heavyweights. Dominic Brazil, 17-1, fighting Izwagbe Ugono. Hope I got that right. He is undefeated, 17-0 at heavyweight, so it's going to be a big one, too. Then we've got middleweights, Alantes Fox. She's 21-0-1, fighting Kenneth McNeil, who's 10-2. That's for the vacant WBC United States middleweight title. And probably the last good fight here on the card is Caleb Plant fighting Thomas Wimbono. That's a super middleweight bout. Caleb comes in at 14-0. Wimbono comes in at 25-6-1. And also another heavyweight fight on this card I probably ought to mention. We've got Iago Calladze at heavyweight. He's 24-1. Fighting Byron Polly, who's got 30 wins, 19 losses, and one draw. Oh, former guest of ours also fighting over there in Minnesota on Saturday. Another heavyweight, Joey Abel, 32-9, fighting Raymond Ochiang, who is 26-20-3. Only two wins in his last six fights, so hopefully this is a nice walk in the park for Joey. Wish him luck there. It doesn't sound like he's going to need it. Although Eric Ochiang is probably the better. I don't know if they're brothers or cousins or what, but Raymond, I guess, is the less talented of the two of them. Eric the Eagle, I think, is the other guy, Ochiang. And then over in Arizona, we've got BJ Flores back at heavyweight. He is 32-3-1. He's been doing more commentating lately than fighting, but he's fighting Jeremy Bates, 26-18-1. Who's been knocked out a lot in his career, as far as I remember. He's been in some highlights.
The honest to God truth is, I want to see how BJ responds, because I believe it was his last fight, because it was only a few months ago. He got shellacked by Tony, a.k.a. Pretty Ricky Conlan, Ballou.
Yeah.
It was a cruiserweight title fight, and I think Ballou knocked him out in three rounds and had him down about three times.
Right. Yeah, and this one's for the vacant WBA, NABA heavyweight title, too. So, BJ, I don't know if he's thinking about it or talking about it, but, you know, with the commentating gig, you'd think that he'd want to retire at some point. So, maybe he's looking for that title to walk away with. So, we'll see about that. Anyway, let's see what else we got for Saturday. Not much, nothing really. We got the interim WBO world minimum weight title. I'm gonna have you guys guess where that's coming to us from on Sunday.
Okay.
What do you think? What country?
I'm gonna say Tony.
I was gonna say Bangkok, Thailand.
Yeah, I was gonna say everything was pointing east to me. Yeah. East. Let's see if we're right.
It's the place where Trump's favorite golf buddy lives.
Ah, Japan.
There you go. That's okay. Minimum weight fight, of course. Moises Caleros, 25-6-1, fighting Tatsuya Fukuhara, who is 18-4-6. Interim WBO World Minimum Weight title.
And what do they weigh? What's the weight limit there?
I don't know, but it's minimum. that's a tough one. It's got to be pretty small. Toothpick weight, they should call it. The co-main event is actually our mismatch of the week, too, for sure, because we've got Ryusei Yoshida, super lightweight. He comes in at a whopping 29-8, fighting Kamal Jatutin, and he comes in at 0-3. So not only do you have a losing record, but you have a shitload less experience going up against a guy who's been in the ring a long time. So good luck, Mr. Jatutin, because you're going to need it. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Oh, there's one in the Philippines on Sunday as well. A couple fights there, good ones. Super flyweight main event, Lolito Sonsona. 20 wins, 1 loss, 4 draws, fighting Renren Tesorio, who is 15-9-3. And we got bantamweights Ben Menanquil, who is 12-1-2, fighting Glenn Porras, who is 29-5. By the way, the main event is for the vacant World Boxing Federation Asia Pacific Super Flyweight title. And then the co-main event I just mentioned is for the vacant World Boxing Federation International Bantamweight title. And then we've got another Sonsona, obviously related to Eden Sonsona. He is 35-6-2, fighting Giovanni Rota, who's 9-9. And that somehow is also for a title, the vacant World Boxing Federation International Super Featherweight title. And then Super Flyweights, also fighting for a title, Jade Bornea, who is 6-0, fighting Raul Yu, who is 9-1-2. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Okay, still on Sunday. Oh, I don't know if it's the mismatch of the week, but there's another experience versus no experience fight in Tanzania. We got Said Mubawa, who is 36-20-5, fighting Paolo Kamata, who is 2-3. Yikes. All right. So now we're into Wednesday. Nothing popping out. And next Thursday, we've got a couple more Japanese fights from Tokyo. Bantamweights Shinsuke Yamanaka, 26-0-2, fighting Carlos Carlson. How about that for a name? 22-1 for the WBC World Bantamweight title there. And then the Japanese Super Featherweight title is on the line between Kenichi Ogawa, 20-1, and Satoru Sugita, 12-3-1. And Mr. Hawaiian Punch is also on this card, Brian Valoria. He is 36-5 now, fighting Ruben Montoya, who is 14-4-1. Obviously not too far to go from Hawaii to Japan, I guess. So that's next Thursday. And that's it for boxing, for the schedule anyway. We got a lot of upcoming and other stuff to go over here, though. First of all, UFC Fight Night 105, Lewis versus Brown. And, of course, the main event, Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown. I've never seen another fighter in MMA win a fight and take so much criticism afterwards for it. Because Derek Lewis, all over Sherdog, everybody's saying, this guy is no good. I'm telling all those writers to say, maybe go 2 minutes with him and then tell me he's no good.
Well, I'll say he's shown a lot of heart.
Yeah.
He was hurt. Ugh.
He took some kicks to the belly at some point. Travis Brown realized that he was, you know, basically showing his cards, you know, going, grabbing his stomach and, you know, acting like he was hurt, but never, you know, stopping the action to the point where he was leaving himself open to a bunch of punches or anything. It was all long-range stuff for Travis. When they got in close, Derek obviously had the power advantage, and even though he was absolutely exhausted by the time the fight ended in the second round, I kind of had a feeling if he caught him with something, he was going to be lights out. And this one, a lot of people had some criticism for Mr. Mario Yamasaki, speaking of Japan. He didn't stop the fight supposedly in time, but I don't know. I don't see that.
I don't think it was. I mean, you know, you could argue about a second or two, maybe, but come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was way out of bounds. The big question is Travis Brown ever going to recover from the Glendale Fight Club? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't. I thought that there was a couple fights where the guy went to shoot for a takedown and he elbowed him in the side of the head. And that created a lot of hype for him, made him look unstoppable because there's two quick knockout wins. But, I mean, that was just a gimmick that he was practiced enough at to pull off a couple times. But after that, it was like, you know, what real skill did he have? It kind of got exposed as not so great. So, I'll be surprised to see him stick around much longer. I think another loss for him and he's out, but who knows?
You know, it's funny. Every time I see him, I start hearing that pan flute thing from Edmund.
Oh, yeah.
If you could read my mind. I've ordered one of them, by the way.
Yeah.
So we'll see how hard that thing is to play. I'm going to give it a shot.
Derek definitely showed some heart, like you said, but he also showed that he can take a punch, too, than a kick, more so. Just a very durable fighter, and obviously has to work a little bit on his conditioning, but hey, maybe you throw him in there against a Roy Nelson. See who wins there. That'd be a fight. Anyway, co-main event, Johnny Hendricks is back. Beat the crap out of Hector Lombard. Got a unanimous decision over him, and Hector, as usual, did not look like he could live up to his physique. And I don't know whether it's a reach issue, style issue, or just is coming from a different organization. He could never match up to the talent here in the UFC, but he's just not living up to the promises that a lot of people thought he had coming into the UFC. So
yeah, and maybe in this last time it was a Hendricks issue. I thought Johnny looked great, and maybe getting down to 170 was just it was doing what he said it was doing to him. The weight cut was just terrible.
Right.
So we'll see. And you're right; it could just been more of a weakness of Romero. But I was really impressed with Johnny. I liked his post fight interview too. So
yeah, he's definitely back.
There he goes.
Trying to make a career out of it. Now, who would you think on this entire card that I was most impressed with their fighting style? Just take a wild guess, Tom.
Okay, well, you haven't mentioned anyone yet here, so are we getting to the girl fight?
Nope, wasn't a female.
Okay.
Not a big name either.
Who?
Not a big name either. I'll give you that clue.
Hold on, Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
See,
yes, sir. There we go.
I was going to test
you. I better get his name down. Yeah.
I was going to say before I tested you, I know you can read my mind, Tom, because you're a psychic. So.
Yeah. It's all of a sudden, I'm getting all these maps in my head. You throw this stuff out, and I'm going east. Now you said this, and all of a sudden, I just zoomed in on Nova Scotia before I even thought of the guy's name.
Yeah, the hometown guy, Gavin Tucker, fighting Sam Cecilia,
yes.
A big-time veteran. This is Gavin's debut in the UFC, and there's two things that Gavin has that no other MMA fighter I have seen in the cage do this well, and that is speed and defense. I mean, you talk about timing, number one. Sam Cecilia probably could have knocked him out at a couple points, but what Gavin does so well is what I always preach, always keep one hand close to your face. And I would say there's at least 10 times in that three-round period where Gavin put his right hand up to his chin, just like Mike Tyson used to do, just kind of like right by the chin where he could, you know, move it up just a bit. But Sam Cecilia would throw a hook, and Gavin would put that right hand right up by the chin and block it 9 times out of 10. He did connect with one of them. But Gavin wasn't hurt at all. And talk about crisp punching, good footwork, using the entire cage. I really don't think I've seen somebody put that kind of a strategy and style together like he does.
He seemed like the
places.
Package. The question is, where does he go from here? Who would you like to see him fight next?
Conor McGregor. No. I don't know who next. But, you know, Sam Cecilia has been around a long time.
He's
kind of like, you know, not the best, but, you know, for a guy coming in as his debut to fight a guy like Sam, Sam never gave up either. I mean, he just, you know, kept coming.
He was in it. Well, like one of my favorite sayings, he's really no cheap date.
No. And,
he's not a gimme by any stretch.
The word heart is overused a lot, but I think it was more just courage to just keep going in there and keep trying. To get into Gavin's range and, you know, capitalize on a mistake or something, but there was just so few mistakes and just unbelievable defense. I mean, quick with the punches, but also quick with bringing the hands up.
Exactly. How about him against Yermir Rodriguez with the fancy kicks?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Somebody that with a big name. Style versus style.
I don't know if they're the same weight, but how about Bruce Leroy? And kick him out of the UFC.
I think Bruce Leroy is 135, Yeah, I think he's went down to 135. But, Gavin could consider Frankie Edgar. Maybe he's not quite ready for that level yet, but that would be an interesting clash, too.
Yeah, I think Gavin could win that fight. I definitely think he could win that fight, but... Who knows? He's definitely going to be a rising star worth watching for sure. But moving on, we had Elias Theodoro got a unanimous decision over Cesar Ferreira.
Beautiful jiu-jitsu on that guy's part. Beautiful.
Yeah, he did pretty well. He represented some kind of an international tough show that he was on, and then Cesar Ferreira won the Brazilian tough show. So it was Ultimate Fighter versus Ultimate Fighter there. And Elias actually had a pretty funny post-fight interview. I thought this was great. He gave a shout-out to somebody who on social media promised him that they would get a tattoo of his face and his hair on their face. So talk about commitment to the guy you're a fan of. This guy is, he actually... said the guy's name right out loud in the post-fight interview and said, "Now, you're a man of your word. I'm a man of my word. So, I said it. Now you got to do it." I haven't seen any pictures yet, but I don't know. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be a face tattoo finally worse than Mike Tyson's, right?
I like Mike Tyson's face, so.
Oh, sorry. You're the only one. No, I was kidding. We also had female fight Sarah McMahon, one of the quickest, or probably the quickest of the main event or the main card fights. She took out Gina Mazzini by an arm triangle just 1 minute and 14 seconds into the fight. Probably one of my favorite fights of the whole night. Paul Felder was just about getting his ass kicked by this guy Alessandro Ricci, and Paul came out of nowhere with an elbow and some punches, and fours were wild. 4:44 into the first round, with just 16 seconds left there, Paul Felder got the knockout. So you never know when your opportunity is going to show up, and he capitalized on a mistake, and that was it. Another fight where defense was a little bit lacking. Nordine Taleb was putting a beating on Santiago Ponzinibbio in the first round, and then Taleb got hit with some straight shots, broke his nose, and just slacked off from that point on. Just was always worried about the nose and trying to see if it was bleeding. So the other guy just picked him apart, and I haven't had too many cuts or bloody noses and all of my fights, street fights and boxing matches, but I know that when you do get blood going on, you don't want to make it obvious that it's bothering you, because that's just going to give the other guy confidence. So there was never actually one time I got checked in a hockey game, floor hockey in gym, and actually cut my eye wide open. Turned around, started fighting the first guy I saw. I actually wiped my blood on him after I beat him down. So. That's how you should handle it. Or you could be like BJ Penn and lick it. But, it's got to do something more intimidating than keep pawing at your nose and acting like it's bothering you. And probably the surprise win of the night. Obviously, the betting favorite didn't win this one. Randa Marcos came in and dismantled Carla Esparza. And I actually thought this fight was closer than they made it out to be. But it was a split decision win for Randa. And she had a grudge there. And talk about styles. I mean, it's just a very weird style. I kept begging for Carla to hit Randa with a head kick because she's just leaning over her knee the whole time. and you know, doing a lot of movement in and out to kind of confuse Carla. But I thought the head kick was there all day, and Carla just never threw many kicks. She was just trying to brawl with her, and that's Randa's game, so Randa won the fight. But very intense. That was the most intense female fight I've seen in a while. They were out to kill each other. And that was actually probably one of the nastiest seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, too, because there was a lot of cliques and people out to get other groups, and, you know, a lot of back talk and controversy and meanness, you know, mean girls, they called that whole season. So it was unbelievable watching those two go at it. Anyway, first three fights of the night. Third fight, Ayman Zahabi beat Reginaldo Vieira by unanimous decision. Thiago Santos got a pretty interesting knockout over Jack Marshman, who won by spinning wheel kick and follow-up punches in the second round. That was 2:21 into that one. And then the first fight of the night, Gerald Meerschaert beat Ryan Jaynes by armbar in 1 minute and 34 seconds. And, of course, we had fights on Friday night. Bellator, not the big fight that we wanted to see. We didn't get to see Fedor.
Yeah, that was Saturday. Remember, that was Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it was Saturday.
They normally are Friday night, but this one was Saturday.
Saturday night. And the main event wasn't too bad. I mean, you know, both Pitbull brothers, Patricky and Patricio, just have this unbelievable comeback ability. But in this one, Josh just never seemed to find any rhythm. And Patricky just came out there, showed a lot of improvement over his last fight, and just laid out Josh in the second round, 40 seconds into the second round. And I think it started with an uppercut, primarily. Josh rushed in and just got popped with this vicious uppercut.
You know, I just wonder if Josh has got old all of a sudden. He just could not get it going. And, yeah, he's 38 now. And, you know, Patricky's one of those guys that just shows you don't need to be a Mr. America type to have a big punch. Because
no.
He's not really physically imposing. But, my God, does he hit hard. Mm.
Oh, that's a perfect segue into the next fight, Tom. Not really imposing. Czech Congo. Also could be described as not that imposing. He got a win over Ollie Thompson, another lay and pray, unanimous decision. And Ollie was scrappy and everything. He had a lot of energy, but just, you know, once Czech puts his weight on you and spreads you out on the ground, it's just really hard to get him off you. And that's where the muscles come into play.
And Ollie had competed a couple times, they said, in the World's Strongest Man.
Oh, really? Not know that.
Yeah, I think one year he came in fourth, and you know what, I mean, you know what those guys do.
Right.
Full planes and stuff, and yet he couldn't get this behemoth off him, but Congo could once again not seal the deal. He couldn't close it.
And was that the one that they were talking about these guys being training partners before, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and there was supposed to be all this bad blood, big grudge fight, and...
That's why I think there was a couple times where it looked like Czech could have knocked him out, but there was something that he pulled back, or he just didn't have the power.
I mean, you know, the whole thing is he got the W.
Right.
Okay, but does this really make people excited to see him the next time around?
Right. And we're not going to read the whole rest of the card. That's pretty much the gist of that one. Big fights. But we do have another Bellator fight coming up tomorrow night. Bellator 173 from Belfast, Ireland. And we got Liam McGeary versus Brett McDermott. The main event on that one. Liam is 11-1. McDermott is 7-4. And co-main event there is James Gallagher versus Kirill Medvedovsky.
James. Oh, boy, that'll be a barn burner. Gallagher's exciting. He's pure excitement.
And James, 5-0. Kirill, 7-3. It's a very short card, too. There's only five fights. Sinead Kavanaugh is in the female fight. She's 4-0, fighting Ione Razafierisen, who is 1-1. And then we got Second fight of the night is a guy that doesn't even warrant a picture on SureDog. One of many people out there. James McGurlin. He is 6-3, and he's fighting Shea Walsh, who's 14-4. A kind of record like that, you'd think he'd be higher up on the card, but he's not. Then the first fight of the night, also big records here. Colin Fletcher comes in at 13-7, fighting Alex Lohor, who is 10-1. But that guy got made fun of in school, huh? A name like that. Lohor. Yikes. All right. And here's one that's just now crossed the wire in a Google alert. Bellator MMA is suing the UFC over a, quote, illegal scheme. And I have not even read this yet, so I'm just going to read it out loud. The UFC was slapped with a class action lawsuit back in 2014. It's a completely different case. A handful of MMA fighters accusing the world's largest mixed martial arts promotion of violating antitrust laws. Not surprisingly, UFC is fighting back. And I think I mentioned on last week's show, actually, that there's some paperwork that the UFC was trying to get denied to the opposition, and part of it was the Reebok contract stuff, and another part of it was something to do with fighter contracts that they did not want people to see, and now it will be made public eventually, or at least made public to the opposition. But anyway, this is different. Scott Coker and company are... Anyway, what does it say? Not surprisingly, UFC is fighting back and hopes to use Bellator MMA to prove that it treats fighters the same, if not better, than competing organizations. The only way to prove that, however, is to get copies of Bellator's financial details. And that's something Scott Coker and company are not going to hand over just because UFC attorneys say pretty please, according to this article. I wouldn't think so either. Anyway, Bellator stated in an affidavit filed in U.S. District Court for the Central District of California in an attempt to block the subpoenas from the UFC that it already produced in excess of 2,000 pages of responsive documents pertaining to the antitrust case, which is the existing case. And the last thing any business wants is a competitor armed with all of its trade secrets. Not only does it hurt the Viacom-owned sports promotion, it could also hurt the fighters as well, especially during contract negotiations. As with any lawsuit, this is likely to drag on for as long as possible. It's already been 2 years and we've gotten nowhere. So expect to see the next update in around 2019. I believe the deposition period and discovery period is pretty much the whole year. This whole entire year is devoted to that. So it is going to be a while before we hear an update, but probably not two years. That's a little ridiculous, but I guess, I don't know why the headline is Bellator files lawsuit, but I guess this has all to do with the existing lawsuit. It's not a new one. So that's fake news. Sorry, guys. I had to give you some fake news. Yikes.
Very fake news.
Fake headline.
Hey, you guys have to admit, watching the news is entertainment.
Yes. Pretty crazy stuff. All right, so I guess that's about it for upcoming stuff and news that I have. If you guys have anything to add, we'll call it a night.
All right, guys.
And we thank.
Okay, we'll throw a quick thing in. This weekend I'll be attending the annual Lock Haven University Boxing Show, and I'm looking forward to it.
And Tony, hopefully you can also start working on your prediction here for Thurman and Garcia.
I was talking to a guy at the gym about that tonight. You know what? I got two lines of thought on it. I think Thurman's the naturally bigger guy. He's the bigger puncher. But I think Garcia has a better chin. And I think Garcia is a little bit more versatile. Thurman doesn't take body shots very well. And so will it be Thurman's size power, or is it going to be Garcia's versatility, body attack? I'm predicting a stoppage late. I just haven't decided which way I'm leaning towards yet.
All right.
Well, we will be anxiously waiting with bated breath.
I think I'm just looking forward to a good fight, you know. And I'm, as I said earlier, two guys that you know are going to come in top condition, and they're both going to come out there to win.
Right.
You know, this is a fight that, you know, the fans are going to win.
Right. Awesome. Also, real quick, I did want to mention, apparently they're doing a veteran version of the Ultimate Fighter. They're bringing back a lot of previous contestants. Even Joe Stevenson is coming back for the Ultimate Fighter 25th season. A couple other names, Eddie Gordon, Hader Hassan, Gilbert Smith, and Seth Baczynski. Also Julian Lane. I'm not too familiar with him, but.
And Rich, another name that I heard about in a bare knuckle situation over in England, Joe Riggs. I haven't had time to get on Google or get on YouTube and see, but apparently it was on Bloody Elbow. They had a bare knuckle fight with Joe Riggs over in England.
Wow.
About that.
That's crazy. You'd think Bellator would do something with him after he won their reality show there, huh?
Yeah.
Keep him on board. Yikes. That's crazy. And he's obviously was in the news a few years ago before he came back to Bellator for blowing his hand off, right? Or his leg? His hand and his leg? He was cleaning his gun. Was that him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a wild man. I don't know if you ever seen that cartoon version of him and Nick Diaz and the big brawl they had in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah, you know, notice how Diaz's mouth kept moving up and yap. And they had them both on the phone on the radio interview. That classic.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then another little story that came through today. I found out on Twitter, actually. Apparently, they've given an exemption to Cyborg, Chris Justino there. Chris Cyborg, I guess she goes by now. For her positive drug test when she was sick, she was in the hospital, even though she only informed people that, you know, it was related to that after she tested positive, they've given her some kind of exemption, so it looks like she's going to be fighting Randami at some point if they don't give Holly a rematch there first. So we'll have to keep an eye out on that. Well, that's officially it for me. Till next week.
All right, guys. Till next week. Let's enjoy the week. Fight.
All right.
Adios.
Have a great weekend.